Chapter 8. The Surrender of the Fort.
The night before the final surrender of Fort William Henry, the entrance of General Montcalm's tent opened and the general walked out into the night. The guards around the camp saluted as he passed them. Montcalm walked into the forest and stood looking at the fort. After a few moments, Magua appeared beside him. Montcalm turned to Magua and asked, "Why did you want this meeting?" Magua answered angrily, "We Hurons do not make friends with the enemy as you pale faces have done. My people want to take the scalps of their enemies." "Those are fighting words," said Montcalm. "But remember, you yourself once fought on the side of the English." "That was long ago," Magua answered. "The sun rises on a new day, and Magua follows the sun." "I know that you have great power with your people," Montcalm continued. "Prove you are a great chief. Teach your people how to treat the English. They are going to leave the fort, so they are not our enemies any more." "I took up the tomahawk to cover it with blood. I will only bury it when it is red with blood," Magua replied angrily. "The enemies of France must be your enemies, and the friends of France must be your friends," said the general. Magua turned his back and pulled off his cotton shirt to reveal the scars on his back. "Do you know what these are?" he demanded. "You have been badly hurt. Who did this to you?" asked Montcalm. "The English. They whipped me. I will never make peace with the English," shouted Magua. Then he turned and went into the forest. General Montcalm looked out across the lake, deep in thought. Then he shook his head, pulled his cape around him, and returned to his tent. The sun rose the next morning on the troops and settlers preparing to leave Fort William Henry. The wounded soldiers and settlers were put into wagons. The settlers carried a few possessions. Colonel Munro walked silently among them. Duncan Hayward approached him and asked, "Sir, is there anything that I can do?" "Help my daughters," said the colonel. "Yes, sir," said Duncan. He turned quickly and went to see what he could do to assist Cora and Alice. Cora looked very worried, and Alice's eyes were red from crying. They were both relieved to see Duncan. He told them, "Your father and I must ride at the front with the troops as we leave the fort, but I will find someone to accompany the two of you." Duncan wanted to say more to comfort Alice, but it was almost time to leave the fort, so he only turned to her and said, "Alice, when we are on our way, I will come to join you." At that moment, they heard David Gamut singing as he moved among the crowd. Duncan interrupted him. "David, please will you accompany Cora and Alice on the march from the fort?" he asked. "All the officers must ride with the troops, and somebody has to stay with these ladies." "I will be happy to do it," said David, and he took his place beside the sisters. As the signal to move was given, Cora, Alice, and David walked out of the fort surrounded by the settlers. Montcalm's soldiers stood respectfully on both sides of the road as the settlers followed the troops through the gates. A total of 3,000 men, women, and children left the fort. A large crowd of Iroquois stood further along the road. Cora saw Magua among them, speaking first to one and then to another. Suddenly, an Iroquois went to a woman with a baby and tried to take the woman's bag. The woman held on to it tightly, so the Iroquois grabbed the baby instead. The woman tried to exchange the bag for the child, but the Iroquois turned and hit the baby's head against a rock. Women all around began screaming. At the same moment, Magua raised his hand to his mouth and let out a war cry to signal an attack. 2,000 Iroquois came screaming out of the forest and attacked the helpless settlers. Blood flowed onto the ground and death was everywhere. The colonel's daughter stood terrified as the attack began. At one moment, Alice saw her father in the crowd and called out to him, "Father, save us, or we are lost!" Colonel Munro looked around, but in the confusion of the massacre, he could not hear clearly or see who was calling. He turned away again and went to help his soldiers in the battle. David turned to Alice and Cora, saying, "Ladies, the devil himself is at work here. Run, quickly!" "Go, save yourself. There is no hope for us now," said Cora. David answered, "Perhaps music will help to save us." And he began to sing. The Iroquois thought that David was mad. It was against their beliefs to hurt a madman, so they did not go near him. The massacre continued around David and the sisters. Then Magua approached them and grabbed Cora with hands covered in blood. "Come, my home is better than this place," he said. "Never," cried Cora. "You cause this slaughter. Whatever you do to me, I will never be your wife." Magua laughed and took Alice instead. She screamed as he pulled her through the forest. Cora ran after them. They came to several of Magua's men who were holding horses. Magua threw Alice across his horse and told Cora to ride the horse next to it. Afraid for her sister's safety, Cora got onto the other horse, and Magua and his men led the two horses away up a hill. David Gamut followed them, singing hymns very loudly. As they reached the top of the hill, David looked down in horror at the scene below. The murder of settlers and soldiers continued, while the French troops stood and did nothing to stop it.